this.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
With this group, at this age, coming off of no work in the spring, then, you know.
Yeah, it could be his greatest accomplishment. I mean,
accomplishment. You will be allowed to put a ball gag in me, McCone. You can ball gag me and tie me up and put me in the corner and do whatever you want with me. Okay?
Hard
so
that,
if he drags this group to the Super Bowl, ball gag me and throw me in the corner. So that's it. That was back on August 23rd, you said?
Yep.
I told McCone if Brady led the Patriots into the Super Bowl, he could ball gag me, throw me in the corner, do what he wanted with me. So that's now on the, it's now on the table. Caller yesterday reminded me of it, so I went back. I am nothing if not fair. I'm frankly a slave to the truth and facts and all these things. So I said it. You can hold me to it. The one thing I would just say is, has Brady led them? Has Brady led them?
Oh, don't start playing semantics.
I told you.
Please.
The ball gag is in play. I will be ball gagged. But now, separately, talk radio topic. Has Brady led them?
No. No, I don't. I mean, if you were to say to me, I don't know, maybe this is another way of phrasing the question, who's the MVP of the Patriots? Like, if you were to look at it this year, I'd say, I don't think it's Brady. I think it's James White on offense. So I don't look at it and say Brady has been the key to their whole season. I don't feel that way.
I mean, see, this is why you have to give McDaniels credit, Maz, because Gronkowski's clearly not himself. Edelman has not been himself. It's not as dramatic as Gronkowski, but he's gone backwards. Josh Gordon, who I didn't even think would be here, you know, 2 months later, is a factor, but ain't Randy Moss like people thought. The running back, however important you think that is, has been in and out. Yet, they're 9-3 and they've scored. They're not as high scoring as they used to be, but they're still a top 10 offense. So how do they get there? I think it's scheming.
Well, in part, except that I just don't think their offense has been as great this year as maybe you do.
Well,
or a lot of people, like, they scored 24 points in this past game. Why did it take him a whole half to throw to Josh Gordon? Like, why did it take so long to throw the ball to the outside? How come that took so long?
Okay, so I didn't say perfect. I'm saying on balance. On balance, how they get to where they got. It wasn't Brady carrying them. They're seventh in the league in scoring, which is down. They're usually, you know, 2, 3, 4 at worst. So they're down a tick offensively. I don't think that's because of Josh. I think it's because of Brady.
Okay, so, but I would also say, what's their offense in the last 5 weeks? Like, you know, they went through that little stretch there where they scored 38 four games in a row, and then they've regressed.
Fair enough.
So it's gone the other way. I'm just not a McDaniels, I don't look at McDaniels and go, wow, this guy's an all-timer. I just don't. I never have. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's something to do with the way he looks. I have no idea. I'm trying to crystallize it for you. And he just, there's something about him where I say, I don't look at the Patriots week in and week out and go, wow, what a game plan. I don't do that with them. Not offensively anyway. And I think it's probably because I hold Brady against him. So that's probably part of it. But I'm not telling you he sucks. I think he's good. I don't know if he's great. And so I don't feel like the offense has overachieved all that much this year. I think they've been pretty average.
Yeah, no. By their standards, they're average. By league standards, they've gone from great to pretty good. But I think if it weren't for the coaching, it would have been worse. Because I think the players have dropped off more, if that makes any sense.
I think you might be right about that.
Okay, back to your calls on everything from the day. Stephen Pawtucket on the Pats. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think for the Patriots to maintain a winning record throughout the rest of the season, the defensive backs have to keep turning their heads around and going for the ball so they're not caught with their smenser and cracking themselves. And the offense has to do, you know, what they've been doing, do the intermediate passes and mix it up with the run, you know? Ball control offense.
Okay, babe, I'm into ball control offense, but in the past, the Pats have been able to go short and intermediate and put 30 points on the board every night. Now it's different. Now there's something different in nature. It's never been a big downfield passing game. But now the points don't go up like they used to.
Agreed. And look, I'll even give them credit for that first drive last week. I thought that first drive was awesome. They were getting 20 yards at a pop and not throwing the ball more than 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
And again, the windows Brady was throwing into?
Huge.
There's no one within 20 yards of
the those two plays in particular, the wide receivers, Hogan and Patterson on the sideline.
So the coaches. So
like, yes.
To me, and the first drive.
So those are good plays, yeah.
First drive against Green Bay. Hurry up. Green Bay had no sniff. And I think that's, you know, that's the script. That's the coach. So I think I've seen that a lot this year.
So, and maybe early in the game in particular, now that you mention it, there was another one too that Brady threw to White. I want to say it was the Tennessee game. It was one of the few good plays where I went, that's a great call and a great play. Like, but I just don't feel like there've been enough of those. The defensive back play, I think you, to what the caller alluded to, I think you started to see that last week. Like, there were stretches there where they had what? You know, we looked at it in one of the plays. Other than Trey Flowers, I'm not sure there was another lineman on the field. I think they had 9 or 10 defensive backs and linebackers.
The defensive scheming, it's not even close. Oh, my God. There's no question. So I think the coaching's been really good this year. I really do. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Jesse in Montreal waiting patiently to talk Bruins Canadians, I think. Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, hey, thanks for the time, guys. I was just listening to you earlier, and I heard you mention that possibly trading Krug and Krejci, and I can see a case for the Bruins selling this year. We're 6 points behind Buffalo right now. Montreal just passed us in the wild card standings. And comparing us to Montreal, last night, 10 of their 12 forwards recorded a point. I don't see the Bruins having the depth to do that. If you look at their second line, Tatar and Gallagher have 20 points each. If you look at DeBrusk and Hyman, I think they have 17 points combined in the same amount of games. And if you look at the third line, I think their rookie Kokanyemi has 14 points in 29 games. Comparing that to, like, York, Hyman, and Donato, I think they have 9 points in 61 games. So,
Jesse,
can they turn around? Maybe, but it's going to take something drastic.
You're so right. Forget about the Habs for a minute. The Bruins' depth is gone. Gone. Remember last year, that third line with Riley...
Nash, Backus, and Heinen.
Riley Nash, Backus, and Heinen was tremendous. Was tremendous. The second line was a little, you know, fits and starts, Krejci and DeBrusk, and then obviously the erection line is the erection line. And even that fourth line was great with the Chari, Corrali, and
Schaller.
And Schaller, Tim Schaller. Thank you. Excellent, Maz. Very good. They had really nice depth among their forward group. This year they have 4 forwards. 4. And DeBrusk is the 4th. Krejci is blown chunks.
Oh, you're counting Bergeron.
Yeah, so I'm counting Bergeron.
I was going to say, who's the 3rd?
So right now they have 3.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Right now they have 3, but you know, for the season, when Bergeron's healthy, it's those 3 on the first line and then DeBrusk. And literally, everyone else is pretty much stunk. I mean, if you want to say that, like, Corrali does his job as a 4th liner, fine, kind of, sort of. There's no points there. So it's like all that great depth they had on the lower lines last year, gone.
But, and this is all an indictment on Sweeney. So the caller mentioned DeBrusk and Heinen in the same breath. That's not fair to DeBrusk. He's been okay. He's been good enough.
No, I mean, DeBrusk has been, he's fine. Exactly.
He had a burst there where he got hot. And so, but DeBrusk is fine. Heinen has sucked. He's been invisible. And again, all the other young guys, all these guys that Sweeney drafted, they've all gone backwards. Heinen's gone backwards. Bjork has gone backwards. JFK, like, gone. None of these guys are giving him anything.
Tony in Holbrook says Maz has to swallow the Eovaldi contract. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Happy holidays.
You too.
Hey, Maz, I agree with you. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's big money, but, I mean, at least the guy did what everybody in MASH, including himself, wanted them, was to win the World Series.
Okay, so all the fans really don't care about the money because he won the World Series.
And I get that.
Is that any way to run a baseball team?
No. I'm just telling you that if you were to give everybody the kind of contract they gave Nathan Eovaldi, their payroll would be $450 million. Like, it's outrageous. He's just not that kind of player. I'm glad they kept him. I like the guy. And the grit is impossible not to. How do you not like a guy after doing what he did in October? Just the balls that he showed out there were off the charts.
Here's one I love. Jack in Lexington. Go ahead, Jack.
You know, I think you guys are looking at it the wrong way. What does it matter what they pay Eovaldi? The bottom line is how much money they're making. You got to pay money to make money. And the cap obviously means nothing at all. These guys are making a fortune.
So, Jack, you didn't care about the Sandoval contract either.
Who cares what they're paying Eovaldi?
So you don't care about the Sandoval contract either, then?
You have to spend money to, you know, sometimes you make mistakes. But if you don't spend money, then you can make mistakes the other way too, Tony, you know? And you got to spend money, and they don't care because they're making money hand over fist.
Okay, so from a moral standpoint, I agree with you. But here's the practical matter. They don't want to go over that top-level luxury tax, 237, 238. Next year it might be a little higher. They don't want to go over that, okay? Should they? Yes. Should you criticize them if they don't? Yes, I agree. They're making it. They should spend it. They shouldn't have any limits. Now, in the real world, let's discuss. They do. So they don't want to go over 238. If Nathan Eovaldi's 17 isn't worth it, it's harder for them to sign their other players because they're going to stop at 238. That's the practical matter. But I do love how Red Sox fans say, well, the money doesn't matter. Then how come every time the Yankees sign a bad contract, I got to hear about the CC Sabathia money and the Giancarlo Stanton money? So be consistent. You're going to rag on the Yankees for their bad contracts, but it doesn't matter if the Red Sox have them?
Well, so let's just not talk about any contract then. I mean, if the contracts are irrelevant, let's not talk about any of them. Let's not talk about the David Price contract either. I mean, who cares? You're going to spend it to make it. So I'll tell you what, Chris Sale's up. If he's healthy this year, give him $30 million in 7 years. Right? I mean, you got to spend it to make it, so why talk about the contract?
There we go. I like it, Maz. Agenda-Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judge you don't. PlanetFitness.com. Back to your wonderful phone calls after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
1-4 in his last five games down there. 1-4. You want to blame the coaches for one of them, that game in the last week of the year where they ran the first 19 times of the game and really sort of leaked that game away? I get it. But they did try and win it for a couple quarters in there, and Brady didn't play well there. Last year, what's the excuse? Last year, he was garbage down there, as he usually is. So he needs to be better. He's been arguably their biggest problem in Miami. I ain't Adam Jones. Like, can they overcome their quarterback? In Miami, though, in Miami, Jones might have a case. Brady's been a liability down there.
I mean, they've lost four or five, and the one consistent thing in those four games that they've lost is Brady's been garbage.
So what do you think he does this week?
I didn't even consider this until Sosie said it. I think they're going to run to pass. I think he's right. That didn't even cross my mind. Miami's run defense is awful. So you know what? They'll run him over. They'll do what they did in Indy a couple of years ago with Jonas Gray. And they now have Burkhead to go with Michelle and White back there. So it gives them options. They can spread out the carries. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if this is the kind of game where they have more rushing attempts than passes in meaningful time during the game.
Yep.
And that they win this game 24-13. Something like that. Wouldn't shock me in the least bit.
Okay. Back to your phones. As promised, Maz continues to really endear himself to Red Sox fans with the Eovaldi stuff. Daniel and Quincy, we got a minute for you. Go ahead, Danny.
So, Tony, I think, you know, the case-by-case argument applies to this. For you to bring up Sandoval, your comparables are way off. Sandoval, you're bringing up him?
No, he's using it as an extreme. Because what everyone says, it doesn't matter about the money. They have all the money in the world to spend. It doesn't matter if they sign a bad contract. So Maz says, okay, if that's the case, you don't care about Sandoval. It's not a comp. It's giving an extreme example of what people are saying, Danny.
That's all I did.
It is
Danny.
A comp. You brought up comps yesterday, Tony. The $8 million.
It's not a comp. It's not a comp. I'm telling you why he does it.
Go ahead, Danny.
On the list with comparables yesterday, Tony. None of them did what Eovaldi did. That's the difference. 4 years is when have you become a value guy with baseball? Tell me.
Danny, I've always...
When did you become... Felger asked you that question yesterday, and you answered him, and then he kowtowed. He didn't even challenge you.
Well, no, but Maz was right. This is...
Maz, Tony, I don't want to argue.
Danny.
It's too good to argue on the air.
But he's right about it. This is what we do, Dan. Someone signs a contract.
No, it's a back and forth.
When someone signs a contract, is he worth it or not? We do that with every player in every league. Why should we not do it with this one?
4 years is chump change. And you said they didn't need another starter. There's another joke. After you let me go yesterday, you said they didn't need another one. I don't know what Chris Sale's going to do. I'd put Chris Sale in the bullpen if I were them. I'd make him my closer. They're going to be short on starters next year. You got to be kidding me. 4 freaking years is now what, 10? So, that's the new 10.
So, Danny, you think he's worth it, but do you think if you happen to think a player is not worth a contract, is that a legit story?
No, you can't say you want the player, but not the contract. That's a bunch of crap. That is the biggest cop-out.
That wasn't my question.
A new talking point?
I agree.
That's not my question.
It was a cop-out. I agree.
Deanne, the question is, are you allowed to talk about whether it's a cap league or not, or whether they have the money or not? If you think a player signs for something that's more than he's really worth, is that a fair talking point?
Well, what he's worth is...
I don't know why you won't answer the question. I don't know why. So I'm hanging up on you. It's a direct question. No matter what the league or what the sport or what the player... He's up for a contract. He signs a contract. Then we show up as a sports talk show the next day and say, is he worth it? Is that a worthwhile topic on a talk radio show?
Yep.
Danny wouldn't answer the question.
So, like, the caller who called two times ago said you got to spend money to make money. So that guy doesn't want to talk about contracts at all. So if he's a Patriots fan, the next time he calls or someone like him calls and wants to tell me how Brady takes a team-friendly deal, you can go pound sand. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to talk about the contract.
Steven Bilricka, another one of our favorites. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, listen, as much as Bedard stole my take last week after he bashed it, and now you guys are doing it, listen, the Patriots offense is problematic. It's not a surprise that Brady is overachieving and sneakily playing a pretty good year, being the pivot man in the circle. He is the man. And you know, tell you something about McDaniels? He has a luxury of calling plays and having Brady. Brady is doing what it takes to win these games by outscoring other teams. He'd be 40 against the Chiefs or 24 against Minnesota. And listen, Mads, you know why they didn't throw to Gordon in the second fill the second half? Because they didn't need to. They didn't need to.
When it was 10-10, they didn't need to?
They didn't need to throw to Gordon in the first half?
When it was 10-10, they didn't need to throw to Gordon?
When they were stalling in the red zone again, they didn't need to throw to Gordon.
This guy makes it sound like they were up 24-0.
And is he trying to make the case that Brady's having some sort of sneaky great year? He has one game that he's thrown for over 300 yards on the road, and it was against the terrible Bills.
Listen, Steven Bilricka is a Brady rump swab.
I typically am, too.
That's
but he's
what he
not
is.
Having a great year.
If Tom Brady were standing in the same room as Steven Bilricka, and Tom Brady pulled down his pants.
Easy, easy.
And started saying, you know, I get this itch on my backside with some lint hair in it. Can you lick it out? He would. Okay? Steven Bilricka loves Brady. Loves him to no end.
That much?
Yep. He loves him that much. Everything's about Brady. The fact of the matter is, whether you want to admit this or not, that when it comes to quarterback rating this year, Tom Brady has been perfectly mediocre relative to the rest of the league. He is number 16 in the league in quarterback rating. Okay, that's average. That is dead center of average.
Where is he in touchdown passes?
I'll tell you that in a second. You're going to give me 1 minute.
Yep.
Okay, Brady is 14th in touchdown passes. He has 20 touchdown passes this year. And I would tell you that in completion percentage, he's probably in the same area. So let's see if I can find it exactly. Brady's 21st in completion percentage.
So I thought Brady would take a step back this year, but not this much. And I'm telling you, he's been bad. He's been good.
But just comparing it to last year's MVP.
But he hasn't been great. No. He hasn't been great. When his contract was structured and they added in those incentives, I think I said at the time, he's not going to get it. And it looks like he's not. Alex in Gloucester. Yes, Alex.
Hey, two quick points. Number one, before we give the franchise tag to Gostkowski in the offseason, can someone teach him how to kick a touchback, please?
Very good. Number two,
Felger, last segment you said that everyone is comparing, said Gordon was going to be the next Randy Moss. Not one person I have talked
Wrong.
To said or listened to said he was going to be the next Randy Moss.
So,
in fact, it was the opposite.
No, I never said everyone either, but... After he went up and caught that disputed ball against Indianapolis in the end zone, people weren't like, uh-oh, spread the defense, he got Moss. You're not Alex. You know how many Randy Moss comparisons there were after that touchdown catch against Indy?
Well, it was no one on your station because I listened to it religiously, unfortunately.
Because you can't quit us, Alex. Thank you for the call. Oh, no, there was a lot of fans who were saying that.
Oh, God, I remember it. I was pissed about it. I remember saying, I thought the play was wildly overrated. Watch the defenders on that play. They fell down, for crying out loud.
Post it on Facebook with
Ron Harmon. I will. I'll look it up and I'll put it up there so that people can see what they're actually talking about. But the Randy Moss thing was real. That play reminded me of Moss.
Yeah, we got it in the post game that night, and then Beadle and I immediately shut it right down.
Thank you. People were saying Moss even before that catch, but after that catch, it was like, oh. He got mossed! But even before then, you thought he was going to be the Moss sort of thing. And he hasn't been. And you know what? He's still been good. Like, I said all I wanted was the Brandon LaFell, Brandon Lloyd.
Malcolm Mitchell.
That guy, Malcolm Mitchell, play outside the numbers. Give me a handful of grabs a week. You don't need to take the top off the defense. You don't need to make game-breaking plays. Just be a legit outside-the-numbers threat for a handful of catches a game. That's all they needed. That's all I wanted. Gordon's kind of given it to him.
I mean, the last two games, especially 8 for 8. 8 for 8 and nothing tricky down the field, or just, you know, they've all been
beauty.
Yeah, slants, in cuts, you know, intermediate outs, all that stuff. 15-yard passes.
That's all.
And
I
he's
need.
Caught them all.
Ed in Whitman says Maz is a hypocrite. Tony in Memphis says Evaldi's contract was a steal. Which one do you want, Maz?
Either one's fine.
No, you pick it.
Whoever's been on longer.
Oh no, how about Mike in Rockland? Maz was right about Evaldi.
No, no, go to Tony in Memphis. He's been waiting longer.
Tony in Memphis, you're up next for Maz. Hi.
Hi, guys. Sports talk fodder of all his contract. That's all great. PTI yesterday, Wilbon and Kornheiser said the Red Sox got a steal. So, hey, who knows? Who knows? We're just watching for the Red Sox to repeat next year. Have a great weekend, guys.
Okay, there you go.
Who was it, Wilbon and Kornheiser? Yeah. That's why I don't watch that show. Like, a steal? That was a steal. A steal. A guy with 850 innings in his career who's 29 years old that you just gave $17 million a year for 4 years. Yeah, that's robbery. No, really. Like, that is absolute robbery. What was the Sandoval deal? Those two. Please. Get me going. Kornheiser and Wilbon. Is that show still on the air?
Okay. We've got more to come on an agenda-free Friday. Murray's update is first. Your computer working, Murray? I sure hope so.
Yes, it is.
Stick around, folks.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Back to the program here. Final segment of your calls here on Agenda Free Friday. You set the agenda. It's brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges on planetfitness.com. Again, we go over everything from the week, anything that we haven't gotten to. It's all up to you. Highlight of the week for Maz. The highlight of the week for Maz, believe it or not, was Bill Belichick discussing Rob Gronkowski's health and whether he was on the injury report last week or not.
This to me was priceless. I'm sorry. The first time I heard it, I said, oh, we got to play this. Go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
Let me guess. It crashed. Go ahead. Sorry.
How would you characterize your depth of tight end?
Same as it's been all year. No changes that I'm aware of. I don't know what happened.
Can you count on Gronkowski?
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
Maz loves this.
Every time I hear it, I'm like, did he really mumble as much as I think he did?
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
It's completely incoherent.
I mean,
really,
if you were like trying to seek out the words, you're like, what the hell did he just say?
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
I read the transcript before I heard the audio. So when I heard the audio, I went, oh my God, this is awesome.
It's no different than hearing a mosquito near your ear when you're trying to sleep in the summer.
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
Swatting
so
away.
The thing is, Jimmy, you have not sped that up or slowed that down. Right? That's what the man said and how he said it.
No, that is 100% authentic. Not edited, not sped up or slowed down, nothing. Not you know, no higher volume, no lower volume. No,
it's like a six-year-old, you know, who ate the candy, tested. You eat the candy, tested. You're like, no, I'm eating candy.
I mean, I can slow it down.
And that's where...
There's anyone on the injury report last week.
It's more discernible there. I don't think he was on the injury report last week. But now in real time... So, what's going on with Gronk, Coach?
Seriously, it's unbelievable. And not to mention the fact that it's like a complete lie. Like, he knew that Gronk was on the injury report. I think he knows everyone who's on the injury report. Like, the guy doesn't miss a detail. So, you know, with Gronk's status, are you at all concern given his condition? It might as well have been that. I don't think there's any
problem with that.
Jim, what? I don't think there's anything on the injury report last week.
What the hell happened to that ice cream that I bought last night?
How many beers did you have last night, honey? It was like 2 or 3.
I don't think there's anything on the injury report last week.
That about sound right, man.
Yeah, I had a couple.
What time were you home?
I came out around 3.
What was that?
It was
about 3 or 4.
I thought there was anything wrong with the injury report last week.
Actually, you can kind of make it out there, too.
I thought there was anything wrong with the injury report last week.
We represent the Lollipop Guild. It was on the injury report last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I just thought that was hysterical.
That was Maz's favorite thing from the week. Back to your phones.
I thought there was anything wrong with the injury report last week.
Our most annoying phone caller has the three most annoying things in hockey. Scott and Weymouth, things in 20 seconds.
Way, I can't make fun of the previous thing there because I sound like that right about now. I'm
about
5 deep. All right, here we go. Let's go. NHL's on the rise. 3 things I can't stand. I'll start with 2 things. Let's keep it tight. One's a rule, one's a strategy. Pulling the goalie, Felga, when you're down by 2 with 3 minutes left, obviously, no problem. The other team gets an empty net goal. Now you're down 4-1 with a minute 50 left. They put the goalie back in. I pull hair out of my head. Are they just trying to save face? What do you mean? You keep the goalie out, idiots.
Next.
It bugs the hell out. Next. The offsides rule replay. Pull more hair out of my head. Hence why I'm going bald as I watch the NHL.
Okay, on 1, who cares? You're down 4-1, you're losing. Number 2, that's not been an issue for over a year.
I know, it's been a while now.
It's amazing, because you know what happened? The players realized, keep your freaking skate on the ice.
Well, the other thing is, didn't they put in a penalty for it?
And there's a penalty now, so you just can't do it anytime you feel like doing it. You lose. You go in the box for 2 minutes. You take a delay a game if you lose it.
Oh, see, I love that. That is such a great rule.
So either it's obvious or it's not. Our time's not being wasted. And so it's twofold, right? So now it's, I mean, frankly,
if you're going to waste my time, you're going to pay for it.
Frankly, I've seen it so little that I can't even tell you.
When the last time it happened?
It's just a non-factor.
Yeah. It's great. I'm telling you, I think the rule had a lot to do with it. It's like, don't waste my time. If you waste my time, you're going to pay for it.
But don't tell me the players now know to keep their skate on the ice. I mean, it used to be you could glide over the blue line. You can't tell it in real time. And so they always let it go if you were behind the puck. Then this stupid rule with, you know, is your toe blade, you know, touching the ice. So now they just make sure to keep the toe blade on the ice. That's all. We've got Jerry on the Cape on Tom Brady. Hi, Jerry.
Be talking about Brady's leadership, and I think in a way he's showing more, not by his great play, but maybe with what he's dealing with offensively. And did you hear Gordon's comments about how Brady is the reason for his success lately?
Yes, I saw that.
Well, I think that's a point. I think it's a point putting back to Brady about doing something beyond knowing he's not playing great.
Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, I give Brady, the team, whoever deserves the credit for Gordon, they deserves it. You know, they've managed him really well. I didn't think they would. I did not think he would have made it this long and been the factor that he is. So big credit to Belichick or Brady or Josh or who's ever doing it. They deserve credit for the way they've handled Gordon. Full marks there. I would dispute like this, all that Brady's had to deal with. He's had to deal with the requisite standard amount of adversity. Meaning his offensive line has actually been really good. It's not been bad. It's been really good. His weapons are diminished a little bit, but it's not like we're back in 2006 or one of these years. Nope, he's still had, for the most part, most of the year, Edelman and or Gronkowski, many weeks both. And he's had James White, the best pass-catching back in the league, and he's had Chris Hogan. He's had a great offensive line, and he has as you all claim, a great running game now behind him. So don't give me this that, you know, he's had to deal with all this adversity and overcome all these obstacles. It's really not that much.
I mean, especially with Gordon having developed the way it has in the last couple of weeks. I mean, you could argue. Now, look, I know Gronk's not right, but you could argue they're in better shape now in terms of bodies than they've been in a long time.
Yeah, I think they're fine. It's been better, but it's certainly been worse, too.
I'm interested, I mean, just quickly, in how they've handled Gordon off the field.
Yeah, whatever they've done there has worked.
I mean, they got to be. They must have someone with them 24/7.
Whatever it is.
They should. But they have to have someone with them all the time.
Okay, Mike in Rockland's got Maz's back. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I
I got to say, Maz is 100% right. I have a comparison, maybe not the best, but bear with me. Madison Bumgarner a couple years ago was a 14 or 15, had one of like the greatest postseasons in history. Since then, he's had tons of injuries. His velocity is down. His stuff isn't the same. So I kind of see him the same way as Evaldi. Would I like to have someone like him? Sure. Would I like to have him at almost $20 million a year? Not really. People just get way too sentimental anytime someone does anything in the postseason. Thanks for taking my call.
Mike, thank you. You know, that just jarred something in me. Danny and Quincy might have been right. Did I use... I might have used Pablo Sandoval as a comp, now that I think of it. Because I was just going to say, the difference between Baumgartner and Evaldi is that Baumgartner also had regular season success. So he got his money. He wasn't just paid just on the postseason. If you want to give me someone who's just paid on the postseason, that's Pablo Sandoval. So I think I said that yesterday.
You did.
So if that's using him as a comp, then Danny was right.
So I'll tell you, I've been racking my brain a little. You know, I haven't spent a ton of time on it, but I want to sort of go back and review it and find out if there have been guys who have sort of emerged out of nowhere to be October heroes as pitchers, right? Particularly out of the bullpen, and you know, Evaldi did both. But then who just kind of were never that again. And I don't know, it's hard to find. Like, I can go back 50 years if you want, but that doesn't do us any good now.
Well, how about Andrew Miller? I mean, he had that epic postseason. What's he been since? And did he get paid right after that? Did Cleveland re-sign him, or he wasn't even
No, out? He was traded in the middle of his contract. Now they've let him go. But he hasn't been the same since. And honestly, I haven't even factored in that part of it. That, you know, we talk about, for example, Papelbon in 08, how much the Red Sox leaned on him that postseason. He was never the same pitcher after that.
Where was Keith Foulke after his World Series year?
He evaporated. I mean, he was never the same guy. He had about two or three good years here. Now, look, those are a little different because they're 80 appearances in the case of Folk.
And he's a pure closer,
right,
up
exactly.
And down by nature.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a wear and tear there that is cumulative that doesn't exist with this guy. But, you know, it's entirely possible that he is never anything close to what he was in the final half of 2018.
We've got Tim and Nashua on the Bees. What do you got, Timmy?
Hey, you know, you guys, we keep talking about the Bruins. You guys are like Sunshine Day with the Bruins these days. And I'm just saying that Char's beat up, Bergeron's beat up. I mean, all I can hear is the music. And these guys need to, you know, the season's over.
Is he sure he's calling the right show?
I have no idea.
Most of Wednesday was ripping the team for 4 hours.
He might be confused because I thought I spent pretty much all day Wednesday eviscerating the team. I thought I did.
I have one. Mike, and I have one other point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And the other point is Mark the Beetle Bertrand sucks because okay. He's so arrogant.
So that wasn't even the...
So here we go.
So there you go. That's all right.
It was one of the morning show groupies.
Ed in Whitman. Go ahead, Ed. What do you got?
Hey, it's a tough call for me because I think Maz is a weasel. He'll probably weasel himself out of this one with his ifs, ands, or buts in different scenarios.
Probably.
But two takes he had, and I actually kind of agreed with both of them. There, show his hypocrisy. A few weeks ago, maybe months ago, he was talking about Betts and how Betts might not be a franchise player and backing all of his stats up with how poorly he plays in the postseason. And then Evaldi gets his contract after, you know, ups and downs in the regular season, but now he shouldn't get it even though he plays great in the postseason. So which one is it, Maz?
So I'd pay Mookie Betts. I mean, there's value in the regular season in baseball. I put a premium on October too, but I'm not telling you that you shouldn't sign Mookie Betts. I've never said that. I just think the Evaldi thing reeks to me of a flash in the pan. And a flash in the pan's even wrong because he's got ability. But that he's never going to be able to replicate what he did this October.
We have a epic final word. Murray's equipment didn't work early in the show. He responded poorly. As we all would. And Fuppets, fresh Fuppets coming
and,
your way.
And one more item.
Oh, and another item. A surprise item.
Surprise item.
Stay tuned for it.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Three pieces of sound here, well, and a visual element as well.
Let's start with Fuppets, right?
Yes, of course. For the TV audience on NBC Sports Boston, the fresh Fuppets put together by Hardy.
With a new character.
Oh, right. There is a new character.
New character. Watch this. Listen to this.
So he's hired an agent. They're going on this massive media blitz to put his name out there and get him back at the top of everyone's list for coaching candidates, all to create a distraction that they can then say, see, stupid media, or something like that?
No. The real reason is to get back at the Colts.
Okay, now discuss that.
Okay, yeah, I felt that this was all part of the plan.
Bill's just pulling the puppet strings on this one.
Ever since they caught us letting the air out of the footballs, there's been a master plan to get back at Ursa.
You sure showed them.
Don't forget, Belichick wanted to show McDaniels the inner workings.
I've said this about Belichick, that if I were to ever die and be reincarnated, I want to come back as Bill. Because every time I F up, someone is going to come up with a theory that was all part of some greater plan. And now it has spilled over to McDaniels.
Bill's just pulling the puppet strings on this one. That's all it is, and we're just his pawns.
Excellent. If you're listening on the radio, we can go see it on our Facebook page, or we'll post it on Twitter. NBC Sports Boston just saw it. He's got Bill pulling the puppet strings. The Bill character is pretty solid.
The grumpy Care Bear.
Oh, I was going to let you people reveal it for themselves, but okay, there it is.
Well, I mean, for those that
it's a Care Bear.
I don't think it's anything. It's
not a new character. So this happened earlier today. When computers don't work, I turn into an enraged gorilla.
Oh, it was great.
And so go ahead, Jimmy.
But my guess is they can't. Why are you smiling?
You okay over there, Murray? You want to take something out on the show? Come on. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to lose it. See sucking computers that don't work. Go on.
You had to change stations over there.
Who screws with these things like this? It's like overnight and weekends. Five-year-olds come in here and put jelly all over everything, and then they move the wires so everything gets disconnected and nothing works. If we used Macs, like... never mind.
The Macintosh computer, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mac.
And now, of course, this keyboard doesn't work either. Because why would it? Why would the keyboard work? Why would the keyboard work? Why would it? Is numlock on? Do I have to hit numlock so the effing thing works, maybe? Or how about scroll lock? But it doesn't work either. That's great. Good. I'll just write the effing headlines on my phone, and I'll read it off that. Go on. Continue your conversation. Sorry. You're dealing with like a caged animal that got loose. Because I can't deal with things like this.
I blame
just work.
Sorry. I blame Arkand. Yeah, he was the last one at that computer.
Murray, you want me to read the update? What do you got? How you doing?
No, I'll just wing it. Go ahead.
We continue on Agenda Free Friday. Right back to your phones.
This is going
to
be good.
No, this is good.
Oh, this is going to be a real... Yeah, it's great. Great. Go ahead. Hit it, Jimmy. Why does it sound so weird? Of course, now my headphones aren't working either. Awesome. Hey, well, the Patriots... I got to... What... Patriots continue to get ready for Sunday's game against the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. And news today that Xavien Howard, their Dolphins cornerback, has been ruled out with a knee injury. He has 7 interceptions on the year and had 2 down in Miami against the Pats last year in the game on Monday night. Celtics, they won their 4th straight with their win over the Knicks last night. Next up, they'll be in Chicago to take on the Bulls on Saturday. Bruins lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning last night.
Very angry. Arkan, what'd you do to that station over there? What'd you do?
Of course, the mic doesn't work.
I was in the one chair last night. Jones did the morning show. That was not me. And Jim, please don't stab me later.
I had to rage out. And if I'm going to destroy anything or stab anything, it's just going to be the equipment.
I love the tone of those headlines. It's the best part of the whole thing. Yeah, and the Bruins.
I should be commended for not swearing, because even hearing the tone that I
didn't Fred blow up on you at one point.
Yes, but that was I deserved it that time. It was because I logged out of his computer and I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. And
seems like a pattern.
It does sort of seem that way. But this, I swear to God, I wasn't sitting there last night. I promise you, Murray. Check the tape.
I take your word for it.
Whoever denied it supplied it.
Finally, we this was a late entry, from what I understand. There's a
our Arkansas cyber terrorist.
go.
Mad Mike Squeaky Maz combo put together by Hardy.
The Seattle Pilots. Look at that.
Ugh. Oh, that's hideous.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Oh, I hate them.
Oh, I love them.
The one on the left is a joke. What is that supposed to be? Like an elf?
It's a logo. It's a Mariners logo, or they're Pilots, so I don't quite get it. Don't ask me, but you know what that is? You don't know what that is, do you?
You have more stripes?
You don't even get the historical reference.
I don't care.
Walk an F off. You know who the Milwaukee Brewers are and where they came from?
The Seattle Pilots baseball team.
Those were the Seattle Pilot uniforms in 1969, the baseball team.
Great. If I were alive then, they would suck then, too.
Oh, they're beautiful.
I think they suck.
Gorgeous.
They look like elf ears.
Just looking at the ones on my left, I have movement.
Oh, that's hideous.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Oh, I hate them.
You don't even get the historical context.
You don't, Murray.
I thought you were talking to me.
But both of you.
Yeah, Murray.
No one understands the history of that uniform. Anyway, that's the Seattle expansion team. They'll be called the Pilots. They might have old uniforms. Blah, blah, blah.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.